Well, a very good morning to you, dear friend. Welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond, and we're going to open God's Word today to find His good word for us on this wonderful day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice together and be glad in this day that the Lord has given to us, a day of opportunities for us to decide to give to the Lord for His glory, or to try to use for our own purposes. You know, that's a choice we always face in every day, every situation. As the Apostle Paul said to us, we must crucify self daily in order to yield ourselves as an instrument of righteousness in the hand of the Lord, for Him to do His work through and in, for Him to do His work in us and for Him to do His work through us. Well, we're going to be continuing in our series today on the ways of God and the ways of men. This will be our second session today concerning this subject, the ways of God and the ways of men. We find that according to God's Word, they are very, very different. Before we begin in God's Word today, let's go to Him in prayer. Our gracious Father, we come in the precious name of Jesus Christ to Your throne of grace. And Father, we ask today for Your leading, for Your guiding. Father, help us to submit ourselves to You and to Your Holy Spirit. May Your Holy Spirit lead us and guide us, and may Your Holy Spirit work in us and work through us. Father, may the words that I speak today from Your Word be from Your Holy Spirit. May they be the words of You, Holy Spirit, and not my own words. And Holy Spirit, help us to hear today with our spirit as well as with our physical ears. And we'll give You all the glory and the honor and praise. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, dear friend, today, as I say, we're continuing in our second session of a series of messages that I believe the Holy Spirit is leading me to deliver. And these messages are concerning the ways of God and the ways of man. As I said a moment ago, when we look into God's Word, we find many, many statements concerning the ways of men and many concerning the ways of God. Now, we examined some of those in the last message. We find that the ways of God are far, far above the ways of man. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, this is a sobering statement, and this will be a theme for our message today. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof brings death. This from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. And you remember that the overall text for our messages for this series of sermons, or the series of teachings, comes from Isaiah and chapter 55 from the book of Isaiah. And there, let's just take a moment to read the text and remind ourselves of it. Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 11. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him. God will have compassion on the man. And let us return to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts, says the Lord, are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bare and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Now, let's go back to verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, declares the Lord, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Now, you remember in last session, we looked at learning the truth of God. We found that truth is in Christ Jesus. From Colossians and from 1 Corinthians, we find that all wisdom, all knowledge is in Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We find the word saying that it pleased God to place all knowledge, all wisdom in Christ Jesus. For us to seek wisdom, we must seek Christ, because wisdom, all of it, is found in Christ. Now, there is a man's wisdom and God's wisdom. Man's wisdom can be found in man. God's wisdom must be found in Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus himself, speaking of the ways of man, spoke of them as evil. He said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, For out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts. And he went ahead to say that these are the things that defile a man, that which comes out of him, not that which he takes in. And of course, he was talking about eating of food at that time. And those of the Pharisees were saying that there were certain foods that shouldn't be eaten. And Jesus was pointing out that you've got it backwards. And by the way, I might point out here that man often gets God's things backward. We reverse them. We put man at the top and God at the bottom. We make man the number one and we make God number two. We try often to make God the servant of man. We ask him to do things as though he were a servant of man. We sometimes will even try to say, we deserve these things. We're the children of the king. These are ours, and we're asking God to give them to us. We're getting things backward. We're not put here for God to serve us. We're put here to serve God. Jesus said, if you want to be first in the kingdom of God, then become the servant of all. Now, when we go to church today, let's examine why we're going to church. Are we going to get something or to give something? You see, God's way would be for us to go to church to give to him in our praise, to give to him in our worship, to give to him of the substance of our life, even an offering, a gift, a monetary offering. We're to give. And we're to give to others, you see. The basic premise of our life, the basic premise of Christianity. Jesus gave to us, for you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on these two commandments depend or hinge or hang the whole law and the prophets. In other words, everything is wrapped up in these two things. To love your God with all yourself, with all that you are, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's something we're doing. We're loving God. We're giving him love. We're giving our neighbor love, you see. And we often are going to church to get something. We're going to church to get our weekly ration of the Word of God. We're going to church to get our tank filled, so to speak. We're going to church to get our blessing. So many people that you talk to concerning their church, especially if they're unhappy with their church, they're saying, Well, I just don't get anything out of the service. And I want to say, my God, what are you putting into the service? Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give, and it shall be given to you. Now, man's way would reverse that. Man's way would say, love me first, then I'll love you. Give to me first, and then I'll give to you. That's reverse to God's way, you see. So many, and we'll find this in our study as we go through these sessions, so much of man's thinking and man's way is directly opposite to God's purpose and God's way. Now, in Isaiah chapter 55, we just read in verses 8 and 9, he said, my ways are above your ways, as the heavens are above the earth. My thoughts are above your thoughts. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Now, we need to understand that Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, that hurts us to admit that, doesn't it? It really does. It hurts our pride, you see. It hurts our pride even to hear Jesus say that out of your heart proceeds evil thoughts. The wise of the world are vain, God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20. In the Bible, throughout the Bible, God points out that the ways of man that are natural ways are the ways of the world, and as James says, the earthly, natural, and demonic. We need to understand that we are a fallen human race. We're born with the sin of Adam in our genes. We inherit a sinful condition. We inherit a sinful state. We inherit the pride that was the downfall of Adam and Eve. We inherit the pride that was the downfall of Satan himself. That is at the root of our being naturally. So that we are selfish beings. We are prideful beings. We think we're pretty smart. And God says, my ways are far, far above your ways. My thoughts far, far above your thoughts. If you recall in our last session, we dwelt for some time on how do we know truth, which is Jesus. Which is in Jesus. All truth, all wisdom, all knowledge are hidden in Christ. We want knowledge, true knowledge, we come to Christ for it. We want true wisdom, we come to Christ for it. For there is where it is located, in Christ Jesus. It pleased God the Father to put all wisdom, all knowledge, all truth in Christ Jesus. Now there is a truth of man that is a counterfeit to that of God. There is a way of man that is a counterfeit to that of God. There is the wisdom of man that is the counterfeit of the wisdom of God. There is a knowledge, a whole body of knowledge that is expanding and exploding that is a counterfeit. It is the way of the world, not the way of God. Now, one of our great problems in the church today is that we're trying the ways of the world to win the world. It won't work, my friend. If we read correctly in God's Word, we will find that in Acts, God added daily to the church. We're trying to win people to the church by entertainment, by programs that are designed to please them, by meeting the appetites of entertainment, of pleasure, of food. We're trying to win the world by the ways of the world, and we're wasting our time. Now, if our purpose is to have a great big social club, then we'll succeed in the ways of the world by using the ways of the world. But if our purpose is to have a true church, a church that is added to by God, a church that is under the headship of Jesus Christ, a church that is busy about the business of worshiping God, praising God, a church that is surrendered to the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing Him to work in that church and work through that church to do His work, then that's a very different animal. That's a very different body. That is a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We adopt the ways of the world to try to win the world, and it's wrong. It's wrong. We may build a huge congregation, but it's not a church. We may have a huge social club and a big building and all kinds of entertainment programs. We may go to the ways of the world and call it a contemporary worship service. We may bring in the hippie look. We may bring in the guitars and the banging drums and everything else. And if we aren't careful, we've brought the world into the church. And we've adopted the ways of the world to try to win the world, my friend. And those kinds of folks are coming to be entertained. Those folks are coming to be blessed. Blessed by what? Blessed by entertainment. Blessed by having a full stomach. Blessed by being coddled and soothed and comforted. Oh, my friend, God's church is a church that is surrendered. God's people are people that are yielded to Him. We're not looking to the ways of men, we're looking to the ways of God. And we, remember, must discern the ways of God through the Spirit. Spiritual truths must be spiritually discerned. We spent some time on that the last session, but that's something we need to remind ourselves because we're so used to approaching God's Word through our intellect and our intellect only. Now, is it wrong to approach God's Word through our intellect? Of course not. God said, come, let us reason together. But we must understand that our human reasoning, no matter how wonderful it is, no matter how big our IQ, will not help us discern the truths of God because spiritual truth must be spiritually discerned. We use our human intellect to take us as far as it will go, our human reasoning to take us as far as it will go, but when we sit down with the Word of God, unless we're asking the Holy Spirit to speak through our spirit, we will understand the words as only words and only the words of men, only like another book. And the Bible is not just another book. It is the Word of God. It is the Word of life for us. We must ask the Holy Spirit to make the Word of life come alive in us and be life to us, to our spirit, and even to our body. We must really learn spiritual truths through our spiritual discernment. And what is that? That is yielding and submitting to the Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Speak to my spirit. Spiritual truths must be spiritually discerned. We must open our spirit to God's Holy Spirit in order to learn the truths of God's Word. That's the only way we're going to get it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, spiritual truths must be spiritually discerned. I cannot overstress that, my friend. I cannot overstress that because in our Western culture, in today's world, and in today's church, we are almost completely approaching the truths of God and the Word of God through reasoning and through intellect. We're approaching learning God's Word just like we would approach learning science or math or English or any other subject. We cannot do that successfully. We can do it and fail. We can do it and learn only the ways of the world when we do it. But to learn the ways of God, we must approach it not only with our human reasoning, but we must approach it with our spirit as well, and open ourselves and simply ask, Holy Spirit, teach me. When we sit down and open God's Word, we need to say, Holy Spirit, teach me. We need to have a spirit that is open to the leading of God's Holy Spirit within our lives. So, as a summary of this particular message, we find God's thoughts are far above our thoughts. God's ways are far above our ways. The thoughts of man are evil continually. And we're talking about natural man. We're talking about our natural abilities, our mind, our human reasoning. We're simply told that there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. And my friend, I'm concerned that our churches today are heading right down that path. The way that seems right to man, the ways of the world. You know, we try to learn how to build a church in the same way we would build a business. It's very, very different, my friend. Building a business is the way of the world. Although we need to seek God's guidance in doing that. But building a church is the way of God. God adds to the church, mankind does not. You see, we talk about winning souls for Christ. We talk about witnessing and gaining souls for Christ, sometimes like the old-fashioned gunslinger of the West putting another notch on his handle of his gun. I've seen a lot of evangelists and a lot of Christians simply keep count of the ones that we have saved. Well, my friend, we don't save anybody. We are able to witness of the truth. We're able to witness about Jesus Christ. But then the Holy Spirit must come in and must convict that individual of their sin. We don't convict anybody of their sin. We can't do that. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And unless that person is convicted of their sin, they will not come to Jesus, because they will never see the need. They will never understand the need for them to come to Jesus in confession, repentance, and surrender. They will never see the need for being saved. They will never see themselves as being lost until the Holy Spirit convicts the heart of the sinful nature and the need for salvation, the need for a Savior. So yes, we can witness, and we must, we should, we're commanded to witness, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we need to understand that that's all we can do. And the Holy Spirit must take over there and must use those words that we have spoken in the heart of that individual to convict that individual and to bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ. We don't win souls for Christ, my friend. We witness for Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit convicts the heart, and God saves the individual by the blood of Jesus. That's according to God's Word, my friend. And as the early part of Acts, chapters 2 and 3 speak, God added to the church. You see, we want to change it and say, man adds to the church. Man gets saved. We add to the church. No, it's God. If it's truly a saved individual, truly a child of God, then God is the one who saves. God is the one who adds to the church. Oh, my friend, in the church, we need to be surrendering ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be coming and saying, here I am, Lord. Here I am, a vessel. May I be a vessel in your hand. Come and fill me. Come and work in me. Come and work through me. Your works. You are truth. Come into me as truth. You are wisdom. Come into me as wisdom. It's very different than doing things for God, doing things for Christ. In fact, this is such an important point. Let me spend the final moments of my message today concerning this. We started with a message from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, where it says that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. The end thereof is destruction. Jesus said something very similar to that over in Matthew chapter 7. And let me just read and remind you of this. This is something you know. But the devil would hide it from you. The devil would cause you to forget it. The devil would focus you on another way, man's way, his way, the way of the world. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it." Now notice he said, the way is broad that leads to destruction. Does that remind you of what we read there in Proverbs 16:25? There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death and destruction. Jesus said, the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. Oh, my friend, every time I read this, it just pulls at my heart, because Jesus said, many are those who enter by the broad gate that leads to destruction. But the way that leads to life is narrow, he says. In verse 14, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. And again, that tugs at my heart, because Jesus said, few find the narrow way that leads to life. In other words, salvation. But many go on the broad way that leads to destruction. Now, if we go on down to verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of the Father for us? His will overall is for us to submit, to yield, to surrender ourselves to Him. We don't hear a lot about that anymore. But that's what we need to do, you see. It is crucifying ourself. It is putting to death the pride that is within us. It is coming to God and saying, God, empty me of myself. Empty me of the ways of the world. Empty me of everything that's displeasing to you, so that I may be filled full of the Holy Spirit, so I may be filled full of you. Empty me of anything that's displeasing to you, of sin, of pride, of the way of the world, that I may be filled full of you, that I may be a vessel of honor in your hands, with you working in me, with you working through me, so that the light that is shining forth from me is not my light. It's not a light of the world. It is a light of you. It's the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that is filling me full, because I've allowed you, God, to empty me of all unrighteousness. Now remember, God says to us that if we will come to Him confessing our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will cleanse us. God will cleanse us as a vessel of honor so that He can fill us with Himself. If we will allow that, if we will come in yielding and submission to Him, that's the will of God, for us to be a yielded vessel in His hands. But here, Jesus says, he who does the will of my Father in heaven is the one that will receive the reward. He's the true child of God. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. you who work iniquity, the ways of man. These folks are doing what they think is right. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death and destruction. We must come to God in yielding, in surrender, in submission. We must submit to Him and let Him fill us. Let Him do His work in us. Let Him do His work through us. Then the work that we do will be the work of God, because it's Him working in us and through us. And that's very, very different than me doing the work that I think is right and calling it working for God. Jesus said these folks are working lawlessness. They're working iniquity, and they will not be a part of the kingdom. They will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. My friend, have you found the narrow way that leads to life? That's Jesus. Yield to Him. Submit to Him. Allow Him to live in you. Allow Him to work through you to do His works of righteousness. These are the only works that are righteous. The works that we decide of our own hands are as filthy rags in the sight of God. There's a vast, vast difference. The difference may be eternal life. Oh, that's so important, dear friend. Jesus is the way of eternal life. And that's the good news of the gospel. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.